Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, everyone. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay tuned with us for the next hour to ignite your best life. Each Thursday on 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we'll have new voices from a wide range of experts and everyday people about the best ways to make the most of your life. So today on my show, we have our monthly installment with Raghini Michaels, an author and certified trainer of NLP, which stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and Ericksonian hypnosis, which he's been doing for over 30 years. And so a little bit about these monthly sessions. It's really this, every month we'll be having Raghini here, and it's really to help listeners gain awareness and presence and a sense of happiness in your actions, thoughts, and beliefs. Raghini has been doing this work for a while, where she's helped me and others with this particular goal. Raghini has received international acclaim for her elegant style and professional expertise, and is recognized for her facticity six-step process, which is featured in her upcoming book, The Wisdom of Your Discontent. She also has an upcoming training in Seattle on February 19th with the Woman of Wisdom, and it's entitled Integrating and Balancing. What was it, Raghini? Integrating and Balancing.
Integrating and Balancing Your Dual Nature, Both Divine and Human.
Okay, Your Dual Nature, Both Divine and Human. So welcome, Raghini.
Thank you. It's nice to be here again, CJ. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the holiday season, particularly this Christmas time, because it seems to be really challenging for a lot of people. I mean, what are you finding, you know, happens to us emotionally, spiritually, and physically, and how can we really try to get into the true spirit of the holidays? What are you seeing with your clients or generally that happens during this time?
Well, it is a curious time of year because it's a time when we're incredibly stressed on the level of our humanity with gifts to buy and holiday dinners to create and family gatherings to live through. At the same time, it's also a holiday that asks us to get in touch with our spiritual or religious side and somehow blend the two in a way that makes the whole season one that's filled with joy. That is a great challenge for most of us.
What do you think is the challenge that's being presented? So it's, you know, you're stressed, you're going out and you're buying gifts, you're trying to do all the holiday planning to make it a special event, and then there's a spiritual thing. What do you think is the blend that is being asked of us to do?
Well, I think part of the issue here is that we're being asked to learn how to live as a whole person, which means as a human being and also as a divine being or whatever language you'd like to use there. But it seems reasonable to assume that there's something larger than us navigating this whole phenomena that we're experiencing in life. And that part of the challenge is to be able to integrate and balance those two dimensions of who we are. And I think most people, you know, when you're out in nature, you connect with that element that you belong to something larger than yourself. And then you forget about it when you're in the mall with a list that's almost, you know, 2 feet long of things you're supposed to buy for everybody. Plus this year, with the recession going on, people don't have the money they had before. There's a lot of challenges on the human level, and usually the divine level or the spiritual level goes out the window. And that's the element that really helps balance. And I think my work has a lot to do with how to balance those two. And that comes back to helping understand more about opposites. So that's really what my work is about, how to manage and balance the opposites that appear in daily life, and especially at this time of year.
Okay, so what you're saying is that, you know, there's this whole person, which is the person that has the, like, long list of things to do, and the person that has to go to Costco and buy all these different things, and, you know, that person. And then there's this intention of wanting to have, be a more divine person, to believe in something greater than ourselves. How does that operate? What does that divine peace mean?
Well, generally speaking, from the way I'm looking at it, it means that you've begun to understand what it means to be human, which means we're going to have both ups and downs. You're going to feel stressed, you're going to feel relaxed, you're going to feel happy, you're going to feel sad. And part of looking at it and getting connected with your divine self is understanding that being human means you have to deal with both of those things. And usually what happens for us is we all end up going down these blind alleys where we think that if we could just do this particular thing correct or get all the gifts bought or have just the perfect meal, that then the joy and the happiness and the love that Christmas is really all about will come. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way because we have to allow both sides of the coin to happen. So on the human side, you're going to be happy and sad, and you're going to be up and you're going to be down, you're going to be stressed and you're going to be relaxed, and hopefully you'll find some relaxation.
So, but then I guess I don't understand the divine peace. So what is that? I mean, I know that I'm supposed to feel a connection to God. I'm supposed to feel like a joy in the story of Jesus Christ, or a joy in spending. I mean, what is that? How do we bring, because I'm definitely hearing from what you're saying is the stress piece, but how do we bring in the divine peace to balance that? How would one do that?
Well, ultimately, if you're talking about Christmas per se, Christmas is really about love. It's about love. And love is something that doesn't have conditions on it, if we're talking about divine love. Now, human love does have a lot of conditions on it. I'll love you if you do X. I won't love you if you do Y. Okay, that's generally the way we work at one level. The aspect of us that carries the capacity for divine love, or love without conditions on it, understands that you, as a human being, you're going to have to experience both sides of the coin, which means there are opposites in the whole realm. Basically, we live in a world of opposites, and we don't know how to navigate that. The divine peace, connecting with your divine self, helps you to understand, to take a step back, and understand that the way to be a real humane human being is to also connect with your divine self, that can accept all that's happening in the moment, whether it's what you want or whether it's what you don't want.
But I guess I'm still having problems. So how do I go about connecting to that part of me that's the divine part that loves without connections? How do I specifically do that? What would I do to connect with that piece?
Okay, all right. So, I guess there's like a thousand different ways you can connect with that piece.
Okay, let's do a specific example. I'm at Costco and I have this long list and I'm feeling overwhelmed. Now, how do I balance that with the divine love?
Well, you're going to think it's silly, but I'll tell you, it's take a deep breath and notice that between all the people that are running around and all the noise, there is actually some space there and there is actually some silence behind all the noise. If you listen to noise carefully, you can find a place where it becomes a symphony of, in a way, cacophony. You know, it's noise that has some composition to it. Not from the sense that your mind can say, oh, here's a pattern, but just a rhythm to it. There's something to it where the silence shows up. So you're in the middle of Costco, you take a deep breath, notice that there's space between all the people. You change your focus, in other words. Instead of staying focused on how many people there are and how they're rushing, you take a deep breath and you look at the space between the people. It's simply a shift in perception. The divine element is always just a shift, a degree in perception away from where you are.
Okay, so
it's just on the other side of your stressed out breath.
Yeah. Hard to do.
But, you know,
I mean,
if you don't ever go there, if the only place you ever go there is when you're in church or when you're in a meditation retreat, it's harder to find it when you're in the middle of Costco. And that's why, you know, practicing, doing some kind of practice every day is a good thing for people if they want to connect with the divine aspect of their nature.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I get it. I mean, it's very hard to do. I mean, I think that you know, love without conditions. I like that. Here's what I like. I like the idea that, and then the focus and the intention that this is all about love. I like that. I like that idea of focusing on it. The other one is I have a little bit of harder time to kind of digest, but we can talk. Let's move on in the second segment. We're going to take a break, and on the second segment, let's talk about some of the other common kind of challenges that we have. You're listening to Fired Up with CJ. Today we have Ragini Michaels, an expert in behavioral change and the author of an upcoming book, The Wisdom of Your Discontent. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about typical challenges and misconceptions during the holiday season and how you can overcome them. You can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.firedupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
So this may sound simple, but when you're planning a road trip, you have to figure out where you're going first. With the Take Shape for Life program, the destination is living life at optimal health. So what does that mean? It means more energy. It means less medications. And yes, it means losing the extra pounds, which is actually part of the getting there. Talk to a Take Shape for Life health coach who's been there. Listen to their story and their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great. We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is Ragini Michaels, an expert in behavioral change and the author of an upcoming book, The Wisdom of Your Discontent. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to find you. Ragini, can you give us your URL or your website to our listeners?
I can. It's www.facticity. That's F as in Frank, A-C-T, like the word fact, I, city, C-I-T-Y, facticity.com.
Okay, and you have an upcoming workshop on February 19th at the Woman of Wisdom. How would we find out more about that workshop? Is it on your website, or would we go to the Woman of Wisdom website?
Well, you definitely go to the Women of Wisdom website. I think it's womenofwisdom.org, I think. It will be up on my website soon. I'm afraid I'm a little lax about that. But it's February 19th. That's a Saturday afternoon from 1:30 to 3:30, where I'll be introducing the basics to my work.
Okay, wonderful. All right, so before the break, we were talking about going to one of the common, I think actually kind of a confusing thing about Christmas. And one of the things you and I've talked about is the idea of receiving and giving. And that, you know, I think we all focus a lot about giving, and we don't think about how to graciously receive, too. My mom has this particular problem when I say to her, Mom, what can I get you for Christmas? And she says, you know, just give me something practical, like, you know, a pad of paper, you know, or something just absurd like that. And I think, you know, that doesn't help me at all, and it makes me feel bad when I wrap up a pad of paper or something ridiculous like that. And so tell me, what do you think is going on there?
Well, it's an interesting example that you picked, because if you ask someone what they want and they tell you something and you decide you don't want to give that because it doesn't make you feel good, right? Then it's an interesting thing, because
right.
then you have a choice there to make. Will you allow the person to receive what they really want, and can you actually give that? At the same time, you have to receive back from that giving a sense of joy, a sense of delight. And so that's a little hard to get to in our culture, because it's so much about the expensiveness of the gift or the item that you give says something about who you are and your relationship mm-hmm. with that person, rather than giving them something that they actually want or say they need. So it's a curious conundrum that we spend some time with a lot of people in our lives.
Yeah, because you're right. The problem is, in that scenario, is that, you know, a pad of paper. I mean, you literally ask for these absurd things, like a pad of paper, you know, or give me some mints, you know, like seriously. I really don't feel like I'm giving anything. Because it's odd though, because now here's the thing, in terms of expensiveness, I could do a hand drawing which doesn't cost me anything but my time, and I would feel good about that. So it's not just the price of it, it's the intention. Like, I feel like, seriously, you want me to give you these, you know, this pad of paper? Like, that doesn't feel like I'm doing something that's really meaningful to you and that feels good to you and that's going to make a difference in your life. And maybe that's like too much expectation to be placing on a gift too.
Well, I think that's part of it, absolutely. But you have to remember that in order to give, you do have to have someone receive your gift in order for the circle to be complete. You know, nature, life, happens in a circular fashion. It's in cycles. So if you give, you actually need someone to receive it in order to have the full completion of the circle emotionally. That's what you need. So
right.
when you get a gift from someone that they gave to you because they love you, and you open it up and it's like this hideous thing you would never have in your house ever, the
right.
question is, how do you go about actually receiving that genuinely so that you allow the completion of that circle to happen? Right?
Okay, I want to hear, and not, you don't have to name any names of anyone who gave you a gift you didn't like. But I want to hear your response. Okay, I'm like, all right, I give you this, like, okay, let's pretend I gave you a gift, and it's a hideous gift. And
right.
I'd say, Ragini, you know, Merry Christmas to you. I just wanted to give you this to you because you mean so much to me. And you open it up and inside is like, oh, my God. Okay, what would you say in
this
return?
This is a perfect
version.
Example of where the dimension of your being that is divine can come in handy to have easy access to. Because your emotional self, my human self in that situation is going to be going, oh no, this is horrible. What am I going to do with this?
Right.
Right? And yet, the actual situation is someone has given me something out of love, and my job is to receive it with love. Right?
Mm.
So when you understand that love is really saying yes to what's happening now, it's not about getting what you want or not getting what you don't want. It's about saying, yes, I will receive this moment as it is. And that moment as it is filled with your love for me. That's got to be where I go to find my willingness to say, oh, thank you, CJ. How sweet. I don't have to lie. I don't have to say, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. When in my own head I'm going, oh, my heavens, this is ugly, right? You have a choice okay. as a human being, but you have to have the ability in your brain, actually wired in your brain, to get to this other dimension of who you actually are that you can pull up and step into so that you can say yes to what is going on in the moment and accept it. Doesn't mean condone it. It just means you accept it and respond accordingly. So
okay.
receiving, that's how receiving would happen there.
Okay, so you know what I'm going to do, Ragini? I'm going to give you like a gigantic, like 10-pound fruitcake. We'll see how this whole thing works in reality.
You watch closely my face when you give it to me. We'll see how good I am at going into the divine aspect of my being.
This is an act of love. It's an act of love. Okay,
I actually like fruitcake, so that might work okay.
Okay. All right, so let's actually do on the giving part, because right now it's a hard time right now. People don't necessarily have the money to buy an expensive gift. And so I think that there's this correlate that says, if I'm not buying something expensive, then I really don't care about a person. So what can I do to work on, if I'm thinking those kind of thoughts, what would you help me think?
Well, again, you want to come back to what is it you're doing here. You know, you're wanting to give something to someone. Why? To prove how much you love them or to make them happy in the moment. Those are two very different things. If the person happens to only like very expensive things, then you're in a conundrum. You say, well, what do I do then? Because I can't give them anything expensive. Then again, you have to come back to saying yes to what's happening. If you don't have the money, the only thing you have to give them is a card or something, you know, you bake cookies or something like that. But you have to say yes to what's happening right now. This is your reality. And being able to do that requires you to be able to say, this is my reality. And I'm going to choose to say yes to that rather than running around trying to make what I give you say how much I love you. Again,
right.
It's
so,
a choice,
so you
don't really
you give
have
that
a choice until you understand how to connect with that part of your nature.
Yeah, so I get it. So it's almost, let's say I don't have a lot of money this year to buy a Christmas gift, you know, or let's say last year I gave them, you know, $100 blah, 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 and this year I really can't afford that, then even when I'm, and maybe all I can do is afford a card and some cookies, it's almost when you're baking those cookies intentionally thinking, you know, this is the way that I can show love right now, and I'm going to bake these cookies with love and give them with love without any sense of embarrassment or shame or sense of, like, this is not enough. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's right, because it's an incredibly powerful gift to yourself and to others and to our world when you can say yes to what's actually happening in your life and relax with it. And then from that place, you take the action of baking the cookies, as opposed to baking the cookies with irritation and resentment and sadness, you know, so your tears are going in the dough. You know, this is not the kind of cookie that you want to give to someone, right?
When you make that choice, step back
and say, yeah, this is the way it is, and from here I can give love, it makes a huge difference to you and to other people and to our world. It may not seem big, but it's actually quite large, a contribution.
Right. I think that that's a good way of thinking about it, because a lot of people are in that situation right now where they can't afford, you know, the same type of gifts that they may have gotten. And there's almost a set of expectations that they should be getting that. Or people may think like, well, I got them so many nice things in the past. Now I feel like I should actually give them something nice now, but I really can't afford it.
It's an enormous challenge in our culture, because in our culture, money is way more what we use as sort of the overall guideline for who we are, for determining who we are, rather than what's going on in our heart and our soul. You know, so it's a big challenge for all of us at this time, particularly with the economy the way it is, because so many of us are in that place where we're struggling with an actual cultural edict, which is money equates to how good a person you are and how successful you are and how loving you are. It's simply not true, and we just have to sort of wake up to that's, you know, sitting on you. It's covering you like a shroud, you know, and you need to be aware of it and be able to take it off and step into this other dimension that understands that saying yes to what's happening now is, in fact, a much more loving and powerful way to move through your life.
Yeah. I mean, and even thinking about it from the giving, receiving, and let's say that someone gave me, you know, they gave me another $100 gift. And, you know, then in the background, I realized that they're in debt, that they're having a hard time making their mortgage payments, I wouldn't feel good about receiving that either. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
I mean, it goes
and
both directions.
Unfortunately, that's what's happening for a lot of people right now. The debt is building due to our belief that giving is equated to how much we love people or is a statement about who we are, both of which are not accurate statements.
Yeah, say that again. So that gift isn't a statement about who we are, and what was the other thing that you said? Because I think it's an important thing for listeners to hear. The gift is about, because we see that gift as being a statement of who we are, or what was the
and
other thing you said?
How much we love someone, yeah.
How much we love someone. So really the gift is not a statement about who we are and how much we love them. It's really, what is it then?
Well, if you can connect with your divine dimension that allows you to sit with the reality of your human experience, you can bake a batch of cookies, and that
right.
is an expression of love, and that's all we really have to give to each other that touches us and makes us more alive. I mean, a really great gift that you want is wonderful. That's one kind of happiness, but there's another kind of happiness that we neglect to give to each other, which is just the gift of loving, which comes from an open heart that says, yes, this is life, I have compassion, this is a hard time, and here's what I can give, and I give this to you with love from my heart.
Yeah. That's very beautiful. It really is. It's
a
much
different kind
of
love, and the more we have that kind of love surrounding us in our daily lives, the easier it is to say to actually care about each other in a way that touches the heart, and whatever's going on in your actual human life becomes easier to live with, easier to say yes to, if you have people around you and if you have inside of you an open heart. My work is about helping you find how to open your heart, because usually our hearts are kind of closed because we're in a quest to be happy, to give the expensive gift, to be merry at Christmas. We're not aware of the dynamic of what it means to be a human being in this world, which means we're going to have a lot of ups and downs, and we need to learn how to ride the waves of those ups and downs.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit about that, because that's another thing. It almost feels like during Christmas, there's this forced sense of having to be happy. Everyone's happy. Have a Merry Christmas. You know, I get emails, mm-hmm. Happy Holidays, be merry, you know, and not everyone is feeling that way, right? This is a,
that's right.
It's a tough economy. You may have lost your job. You may have lost a loved one. I mean, I know a lot of people who've lost loved ones lately. I mean, how do you deal with this, like, this like pervasive sense of happiness, like you have to be happy and merry, and when you're not really feeling that way, you may feel more sorrow or you're not feeling joy. How does one deal with this kind of forced sense of happiness when they're not feeling it?
Well, the first thing, once again, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but the very best, most practical thing you can always do is take a deep breath and step aside from the pressure that you're feeling to be happy. You can't get rid of it. It's there in the culture. It's there in the season. So the first thing you do is you take a deep breath and you step aside from it and you say yes to what's happening in you right then, which is, I'm sad. You know, I'm unhappy. I'm sorrowful. I lost my job. I'm feeling depressed. I have grief over the loss of a loved one. That is what's happening to you right now. If you can say yes to that and you understand that on the other side of that, on the other side of those things is its opposite, which you can get to much more easily if you relax into what's actually happening for you in the moment. Now, people around you may not be happy that you're not, you know, being a completely happy person right now, jumping up and down for joy. But the act of being with whatever is happening for you on the inside is part of what allows your heart to stay open and allows that love to come that we're talking about. You know, you don't have to be happy at Christmas just because our culture says you do, and most people are not. I mean, Christmas is one of the most stressful times of the year. Would you agree?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that because there's this sense of, like, if I'm not happy, then I'm dragging everyone else down, and I think that that's kind of a problem, you know? I think that it forces you to put this feigned sense of happiness to calm everyone down.
Okay. So here's the thing. If you're feeling down and out, you know, and you can say yes to that, that is, you accept it. You embrace what you're feeling and allow it to be there. then it's easier to lift your head up out of your emotional reality and step into your divine nature, which is there, and look around you. There are many things to be grateful for that you do have. And gratitude, and you hear this all the time, but there's an enormous truth to it. Gratitude opens the door to feeling happier, to noticing the joy and the happiness. Usually, it's not about having what you want or not having what you don't want.
Rogini, I'm sorry, we have to take a quick break. I'm sorry, we ran a little bit over. So you're listening to Fired Up with CJ. If you can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.firedupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Now is the perfect time to learn Tai Chi and Qigong. These ancient Chinese healing arts, also called mind-body practice, are simple to learn, clinically proven to be effective, and can be practiced by anyone, anywhere, at any time. For 10 years, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi has been a respected leader in mind-body practice training. Visit IIQTC.org. Empower yourself, empower others. Visit IIQTC.org for more information on mind body practice. IIQTC.org.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Welcome back. We're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is Rogini Michaels, an expert in behavioral change and the author of an upcoming book, The Wisdom of Your Discontent. But before we continue, I want to make sure that everyone knows Rogini's website, which is www.facticity.com, facticity.com. And Rogini also has an upcoming workshop on February 19th at the Women of Wisdom, and you can find that by going to the Women of Wisdom website. And Rogini, tell me the times again of that workshop.
It's February 19th. It's a Saturday from 1:30 to 4:30, and it's called Integrate and Balance Your Dual Nature, Divine and Human.
Thank you. Thank you. So before the break, we were talking about what to do when you're feeling forced to be happy. Because I do think that there is a sense. I mean, don't you think? It's kind of like a forced sense of, like, be happy, you know, and if you're not feeling that way, yeah.
Absolutely. There's a social, also a social pull to participate in the energy of the group, which at this time of year is to be happy. And if you're sitting around with your, you know, with your chin down to your knees, you know, that people think you're a wet blanket.
Is that even physically possible to have your chin down to your knees? You're extremely flexible. They're thinking you're a wet blanket and you're extremely flexible. sorry. Okay.
What I was saying earlier is that in order to be able to flow with that kind of situation when you are feeling down or unhappy, as you had suggested, people have lost their jobs or they're losing loved ones, are just generally feeling blue because of their financial state. How do you go through this time when you are with others, when everybody is being happy? So what I was saying is you need to take a deep breath and understand that the first thing to do is to say yes to what's happening inside of you. So this is what's going on, and this is part of the part of being human, is that you have sadness and you have joy. You get what you want and you lose what you have. These kinds of things go on. The divine aspect of our nature is the place where we can step to give us something to bring us back to look at what is happening in the moment that can allow us to feel present and some joy. It's hard to do if you can't step into some connection that you have with something, but it's always right there. For example, if you just look around with gratitude and realize, oh, there's people here. There's people here who love me. There's family. There's food. There's a roof over my head. If you're sitting alone at home, you can say the same thing. Look, there's a roof over my head. I have a can of Campbell's pork and beans. You know, it sounds silly, but actually gratitude is one of the most powerful things you can do to balance yourself, and that is part of bringing the divine back into your daily life as a human being.
So let's go through an example. I have a friend that just lost her mom. And, you know, she's at a cocktail party with a bunch of friends. And they say, hey, how are you doing? You know, not everyone knows that she's lost her mom. Like, hey, how are you doing? What are you up to? How are the kids doing? You're like, oh, I just lost my mom. You know, which is this instant like, oh, sorry. You know, it just changes the whole dynamic. I mean, how, let's say that you are, I think it's easy if you're the person who's heard that information to how to react, but what do you do if you're the person who's lost your mom and you're trying to figure out, well, how do I, and I hear what you're saying. It's like, you know, I have a lot of gratefulness that I'm here with all these loved ones and my friends, and it's beautifully decorated and I'm having nice eggnog, but you're still like, you know, this person wants to hear something and I really can't do it. How would you respond if you were in a similar situation?
Well, the first thing you have to do when you have something that powerful as the loss of your mother is ask yourself, really, are you ready to go to a cocktail party? It's a very important question, especially this time of year, because another polarity that works a lot is, do I want to be alone or do I want to be together with other people? And do I want to take care of others or do I need to take care of myself? So that's the first place you have to go to ask yourself, where are you on those two continuums?
Mm-hmm. Right,
and
good
if
point.
If you really feel that you're ready to be together and you can do it, then it's great to go and fill the needs of the other people who are giving the cocktail party, your friends that you want to show up for. If you feel that you really still need to be alone, then it's better to actually go with taking care of yourself and stay home. You know, so it really, the first step is identifying where you are. But looking at it in terms of opposites is going to be very helpful. Do I want to be alone or do I want to be together? Do I need to take care of myself or do I need to take care of my friends' need to have me there?
Yeah, and I think this alone together is a challenge as well, because in some ways what I notice is that, you know, people want to be alone and then they kind of want both. Like they want to be alone. They're feeling alone. They would like to be together, but they don't know where to go to be together. Like let's say you don't have a lot of friends and you're feeling really lonely and you don't have a community. Then what would you do to feel to balance that sense of aloneness during Christmas, which happens to a lot of people, right?
It does. It does. But what also happens is when people feel lonely, since we're talking about people being alone now, people who don't have families or don't have a lot of friends and they're alone, one of the things that we normally do rather than feel the loneliness is overeat, get a bit too merry with the cocktails, or go out and shop, you know, spend money we don't have. And these are ways that we use to get away from actually feeling the loneliness that we have. Mm-hmm. One of the things, the best ways to deal with this is to understand if you really feel alone, feel it first and foremost. Ask yourself, what is this loneliness that I have? And you'll find in it, it's a longing to connect with people. So when you know what it is you want, you can go out and actually connect with people with much more intention and getting and get that connection than if you're running away from your loneliness and trying to avoid it by being together with people, which won't work.
But then how are you going to be together with someone? I mean, you can, you know, Starbucks isn't open on Christmas. Like, who are you going to be with? I mean, what do you, I guess you turn on the TV. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Not my area of expertise, but one of the standard and pat answers would be go volunteer your time at a homeless place. You know, there are lots of people in the world in the same predicament. This is a time when our world is probably more isolated than ever. And if you're single, you're definitely isolated.
Yeah.
Even if you're,
so just get yourself. Yeah, that's a great idea. I think that's a fantastic idea to go and help others, and who also are seeking kind of companionship and togetherness during a really, it could be a tough time.
What I'm saying, however, CJ, is to do it with the intention of obtaining connection rather than avoiding being alone. There's a difference there in that the quality of your being when you walk into that homeless shelter, when what you're looking for is to connect with people versus avoiding feeling lonely. Okay?
Right, right. And I think that the hardest part, though, frankly, in that scenario is just going into the feeling of loneliness. I mean, I think it's kind of a, because of the season, it would be even harder. You know, if I was going into, like, I think what you'd suggested is go into that feeling of loneliness. And even if at the end of the tunnel you get to what I really need is connection, it's not kind of a pleasant thing to do.
Well, that's absolutely accurate. But here's the thing. The blind alley that we go down all the time is thinking that being human is going to feel good all the time. And being human doesn't. Being human is a life filled with pleasure and good things and pain and not so good things. And the more that you understand that there's a rhythm to that pleasure and pain phenomena and that it's with us every single day, it becomes easier to say yes to the unpleasant things. And then the whole rhythm of being a human being becomes much easier to flow with. There's not so much fear. The fear is that if I go down that place and sit with my loneliness, it's going to overwhelm me and I'll never get out from under it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think the other thing that happens is when you go down there, especially during the season, there's this feeling like someone has it better than me. You know, I'm watching a TV commercial and they're all clinking their champagne glasses and laughing, you know, with their friends. And I'm sitting here in my living room with my pork and beans, you know, by myself.
That's right.
I think it's particularly challenging during the season because you're barraged with images that are counter to what you may be experiencing.
All right. To balance that out, again, to balance, which is what this is all about, is there's always going to be people who have more than you. So to balance it out, you think, what about the people who have less than me? Because that puts me in the position of having more. Right?
Right.
So you
balance
that out in that way. I mean, envy is my personal companion. Envy follows me every day. I'm always, always envious of everything. I have enormous greed and envy. But they're friends now. You can't get rid of those things. They're qualities of being, of the human nature, right? So they come along with me every day. Greed, envy, especially this time of year. What to do? So they're my little friends. They come with me wherever I go. They become less and less bothersome the more I say, yes, okay, you're welcome, come along, but I'm not really paying that much attention to you. I feel you, and you don't particularly feel good. But then the gratitude comes in, and you say, hey, look at what I have that others don't, right? And then when you get that balance, you can step out and just be with the whole thing that's happening and be a whole person, which is filled with envy and gratitude for what you have.
Yeah, that's a perfect, I think that's a great advice. And to wrap that up, we are so we're going to go come back. We're going to talk about the another challenge. But before we do, you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ. My guest today is Raghini Michaels, who's an expert in behavioral change and the author of an upcoming book, The Wisdom of Your Discontent. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about control and surrender and how that plays in with the holiday season. You can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to tap into the healer within? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the real doctor is the source that lives within you, that heals within you minute by minute every day? The healer within is the innate intelligence of the human body. When we cut our hand with a piece of glass, we don't have to command the body to close the wound and grow new skin. It knows how to heal itself. We do have to nourish the skin by disinfecting it and remove the glass, or it cannot heal. The innate healer relies upon us to assist in this healing process. Our role is to identify its needs, provide the substances required for the healing, and remove the obstacle. CRA, Contact Reflex Analysis, is an energy assessment which translates human energy into information. This information provides me with the ability to identify your needs as a healer and to design a specific solution for you. Contact us to achieve optimal health at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232, and visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Hi, we're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is Raghini Michaels, an expert in behavioral change and the author of an upcoming book, The Wisdom of Your Discontent. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to reach Raghini, who is at www.facticity.com, and she also has an upcoming workshop on February 19th, which is a Saturday from 1:30 to 4:30. And the title again, Raghini, is?
Integrate and Balance Your Dual Nature, Divine and Human. It's at the Women of Wisdom Conference in Seattle.
Excellent. Thank you. So we were before the break, we were talking about control and surrender. And I think that this is about, you know, when you, for me, this is when you go to your family of origin, and everyone kind of has traditions and how they should, how they think Christmas should go. And it's a lot similar to the conversation that we had during Thanksgiving, where there's this sense of overwhelmness, right? Whether it's, you know, all the number of things that there are to do, or the way that you want to do it versus the way that someone else in your family wants to do it. I mean, what do you experience with your clients with respect to this control and surrender idea?
Well, generally speaking, most people have a really downside to the holidays these days.
Okay.
And usually they will come in and say, oh my gosh, I blew up at my family, or I don't want to go back because I have to bottle it in, or I'll only go if I can actually leave early. Okay. So they have some strategies in place for how to deal with it. But what is not usually in place is a way to go and enjoy the encounter, even though nothing is unfolding the way you want it to, and your desire to control the situation and make it the way you want it and make the people the way you want them to be, that's really not an issue. All people's strategies here are about how to deal with the fact that it's a hideous encounter in many ways, okay, because it's not the way you want it to be. So that's part of how, that's what I hear from people who come into my office in this time.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good way of summarizing, because it really is, you kind of want, I mean, what I've seen in the various interactions is that you want people to be a certain way, and they may never be that way, honestly. And so you going in every holiday season hoping that they will be this way is kind of a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
It certainly is, and it's a recipe that works every single time. You can count on it.
What's that?
There's nothing
exactly
wrong with the recipe. It gives you disaster every single time. It's really true. It's excellent. So the question is, do you have a recipe for how to go in and have it be a pleasant experience for you, even though it's happening in a way that you don't want it to happen? And that's what my work is actually about. That's what I try to help people learn how to do differently.
So spiked eggnogs is not the way? Not the way that you go? That's what I've been doing. What should we be doing instead?
Well, they're reasonable strategies, as I said. They work, and that's why people look at holidays with a, you know, sort of cringe at the same time that they look forward to it, because it's both pleasant and deeply unpleasant. And part of that is because we don't know how to handle the fact that we can't control the situation. For example, just like our whole culture is filled with Christmas things like before Thanksgiving, most of us, instead of being able to just relax into that and let it be what it is, have a very stressful reaction to it. You know, we don't like it. So we either blow up or we complain about it, or, and then that energy builds and builds, and by the time you get to your family of origin celebration on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, there's so much stress, you're ready to blow up, bottle it in, or leave early. What other strategies do you have available to you? My work is about giving you other strategies, and that strategy has to do with understanding what it means to be human, which means you're going to have to experience both pleasant and unpleasant. And in the blind alley that we keep going down is thinking that if we do something a different way, we'll get rid of the unpleasantness of life. It's not going to happen.
Okay, but how do you, so let's practically go through this scenario. I'm feeling unpleasant, and so I want to be pleasant about my unpleasantness. Do I just lock myself in the bathroom? I mean, where do I go when I'm feeling unpleasant?
Actually, CJ, what I'm talking about here is a real shift in the way you understand how to live life. Instead of spending most of our life trying to avoid feeling the unpleasant things that are there in the human experience, instead of doing that, which most of us don't even know we're doing, all we know is we want to be happy, and that means I'm going to get things to be the way I want them to be, and then I'll be happy. This is not the way it works. If you want a different brand of happiness, which is what my book is about, a different brand of happiness, there's a happiness that comes when you learn to live with things as they are. And that means if I'm going to be happy, I'm also going to be sad. If I'm going to feel connected, I'm also going to feel separate. If I'm going to be accepting, I'm also going to be rejecting. And if I'm going to be content, I'm also going to be dissatisfied. And they're always going to come in pairs. They're deeply married to each other. They have a passionate love affair, these polar opposites. You can't separate them. That different way to
live. Okay, so let's say that I'm sitting there, and I'm feeling this sense of unpleasantness. Oh, there it is. There's my friend judging. There's my judging friend coming over and saying, oh, seriously, you're going to bring us this. I have an issue with fruitcake. You're going to bring this fruitcake out? You know, like, how many times do I have to pretend eating this thing, eating around the corner, putting whipped cream on it, or whatever I need to do to eat this thing? Okay, my unpleasantness has arrived. So I kind of go, wow, there it is. Isn't that interesting? There's my judgmental unpleasant side. And then what to do next? Just like, oh, there it is. This is going to be, you know, I'm going to be unpleasant, and this, it's arisen. Oh, interesting.
Well, here's the thing. If your intention at being in the party is to enjoy yourself, then don't eat the fruitcake.
It's as simple as that, isn't it?
It is, but you see all the stuff that your mind went through about having to eat the fruitcake. You truly do not have to eat the fruitcake, because life gives us so many scenarios where you cannot please everyone. You cannot please you, and you cannot please the person who ate the fruitcake in this scenario. If you want to please the person who made the fruitcake, you eat it. If you want to please yourself, you don't eat it. It's really very simple. But there's so much that goes on inside of the mind about what's the correct and right way to handle this. If you understand that you have to make choices, and they're always going to be basically between choosing to help other people or yourself, and that has to be balanced, it's going to make a difference in how you play out your time at the dinner table when the fruitcake shows up.
I've got another solution, Ragini.
Okay.
I'm going to take the fruitcake, and when the person isn't looking, I'll throw it in the trash. That way, they're happy and I'm happy.
That's certainly an option. That's like feeding the fruitcake to the dog under the table, right?
Exactly. Well, at least, you know, here's the thing. If you're present with what you're trying to do, right? I mean, what's the fundamental issue that you're struggling with? I don't want to be unhappy, and I don't want this other person to be unhappy as well. So what is the way that I can do both of these things at the same time?
And that's a real dilemma, and that's a paradox, because most of our lives are lived in exactly that place where you just articulated it. I want to make them happy, and I want to make me happy. What do I do? That specific place is what my work is helping you understand and develop a new strategy for dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about, you said that, let's talk about some tools, because big tool person. Give us.
Okay, well, let me just say this. We're talking about Christmas, so sit down and think about your, whether it's Christmas or any other celebration that happens this year, this time of year, Hanukkah, etc. Sit down and write down the four things we've been talking about that you want to feel. For example, happy. I want to feel happy. I want to feel connected. I want to feel accepting of everything that's going on. I want to feel content. So there's happy, connected, accepting, and content. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, write down the opposite of each of those words.
Mm-hmm.
So next to happy, most people will write the word sad. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Next to connected, most people will write the word separate.
Okay?
Next to the word accepting, most people will write rejecting.
And, Ragini, we have three more minutes of the break, so let's actually fast-forward a little bit about
here. So once you've written down happy, sad, connected, separate, and accepting, rejecting, we'll just do those through, just put your finger there and start moving around it in the sign of an infinity loop, because this is helps your brain understand that you're going to move between these two polar opposites again and again and again on your Christmas day. Happy, sad, sad, happy, connected, separate, separate, connected, accepting, rejecting, rejecting, accepting. That will help.
Right. So you have peace. You have peace with knowing that these are all emotional states. They're totally normal. And to feel peace with it, because they are going to arise. So versus having to feel forced to be happy or forced to be connected or forced to be accepting. So I think that's a great tool. So thank you, Ragini. I want to thank you today for sharing your advice and thoughts. I think this is going to be really helpful. A lot of great advice for people. And I think really practical.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Fired Up with CJ. Please join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, we're going to talk about the holiday season and traditions with some comedians, all of whom have diverse religious backgrounds. So it will be quite a fun show. So have a great week and a great holiday season. Be merry, and be sad as well. And I'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.